Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team of Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870, breaking it down in the real estate world.
Yes, we are.
As always, you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com, which a lot of people have been doing recently, and we appreciate everybody and their questions and requests they put in this week. Once again, I always like to thank John for being here and hosting, and everybody at the station for making this work. So we, as always, too, we have, and sometimes we don't include him until after the break, but I'm sure he's going to have some comments for me, our local lender, Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage. Scott, what's happening this week? How you been?
Well, I've been good. It's great to be here. It's always fun in the first part of the show, listening and learning about the real estate side. And, and I'm going to do my best not to interrupt you today.
Oh, that's okay. Hey, that's okay. I got some feedback about that. I think people kind of like that.
We have a lot of fun
capping
here.
All over you.
Yeah, there is always some good stuff.
How come you're interrupting that nice young man?
We always start off with some local news. If there's been some local news out there.
And there is.
And there is.
And if it's worth sharing with you, then we'll share it.
Well, it's just always mentioning, I mean, you know, we don't get a lot of real estate headlines all the time, but it seems to be that we have the dueling water parks continuing to duel it out in the Herald this week. So, the speculation continues. It does look like the Kennewick Party's moving forward full steam ahead. And
yes, according to some of the items that we saw, they have, late this week, they signed the necessary paperwork. And I understand they do have the funding needed to kick the thing off. And they are looking at, I believe, 2011 Memorial Weekend right in that neighborhood. So they appear to be moving forward and also progress being made on the Pasco.
Yeah, it looks like February 18th, I believe, they were going to have a hearing on that. So
I think it's good.
Big time attractions. It would be great to have both of them be feasible. And that's probably the biggest real estate news that we saw this week out
of
the news.
Well, look at it this way. It's better to have water parks than have your kids go swimming in the river, okay?
Yeah, it would be kids are going to want to spend plenty of time there.
Yes.
And other than that, the local market right now, I tell you what, we're just continuing to have kind of a barn burner start here. Warm January, lots of people making decisions. Things are looking like it's going to be a quick start to the year. So we're buzzing around and helping people evaluate their properties, and right now getting a lot of new inventory on the market.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's heating up fast, and in the mortgage market with what happened with the stocks this last week, that's that flight to quality that you hear. Bonds are rallying and rates are red hot. So get some calls in and let's see what we can do to help you get into a house.
And that's great, too, because right now, I mean, it's probably some of our best opportunity to have new inventory for folks, to be putting new stuff on the market. A lot of people are, we haven't talked about it in a couple weeks, but a lot of people are still utilizing the tax credit right now. And there is a huge rush of business to make that happen and get that done. And a lot of speculation that it won't be extended this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and our good friend Don Taylor has been just busy as ever with his accounting practice, talking to people, and he actually sent one my direction yesterday that was wondering what it would look like to get into a house because they didn't want to miss this tax credit. So it's real busy with that tax credit issue still hanging out there.
Yeah, I mean, the way things have gone budget-wise and stuff, I mean, I'm not a breakneck economist by any means, but you know, it looks to me like we went to one huge end of the pendulum with spending and incentives and tax cuts, and, you know, now we're trying to struggle to find a way to pay for it all. So, you know, I do think that we could be nearing the end of some of the gravy train of this tax cut property buying, and it's been great for our local economy. I mean, we're definitely seeing a big infusion from it. So,
well, and if your local economy is in a position to take advantage of it, if you are sound financially, it's probably going to work better for you than economies or municipalities where the economy is not doing so well.
That's exactly right. I mean, we were really in the perfect position to take advantage of it. So One thing I really wanted to focus on this week is with all of these properties coming for sale and people trying to sell their house by themselves or any seller for that matter, is we really just wanted to focus in this week on probably what are the 10 biggest mistakes that you can make when selling your home. And I'll just start us off here with number one, deadly mistake number one. And this really plays in huge, and I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of the one that's out there, but the biggest mistake is pricing incorrectly. Number one on the list is
too
pricing
low or
incorrectly.
Too high.
I mean, every seller wants to realize the most amount of money possible. I mean, if any of us in this room were selling, that's going to be our number one goal, is to get, you know, to get the most amount of money possible. So what happens is a lot of times we run into that old scenario, well, let's try to list it high and just see what happens.
Well, isn't that your buddy at the barbecue that's giving you that incredibly scientific information?
Yeah.
That expertise, that professionalism there?
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. I mean,
your family member, your buddy at the barbecue.
And that's the one that says, you can always go down, but you can't go up. So what happens, I mean, when we look at that and why it's so crucial to make sure you're doing the maximum amount of research up front before you put it out in the market is because somebody that's been in the business, I mean, I just know too well what the statistics are on that. In fact, if we look at the percentage that you'll get as your sold price versus what you listed it for, that you end up taking less as you look as things increase time-wise over the months. If you sell in the first 2.5 months, you get between 95 and 100% of your asking price. Mm-hmm. That's the national statistic.
In
the first 2.5 months.
So about the first 75 days.
That's exactly right. Now, if you sell in 5 months' time, at the 5 month time frame, you're actually going to only get 90% of what you listed for.
Wow.
And then if you go out a little bit longer to 7.5 months, you're taking a discount on the average statistically over the last 10 years, you're taking a discount of 15%.
And that is a significant amount of money. When, let's say you're dealing with a house that's $150,000. Well, get out your calculator and do the math. What's a 15% of $150,000?
That would be $22,500.
You just took a $22,000 loss on your single biggest investment that you'll ever have in your life. So that's why it's important. Most commonly, do people come in too high or too low?
Well, most commonly what happens is, and that's why I'm probably employed and have a job, is that, I mean, we all have emotional attachments to, you know, the structures we're living in and where you've raised a family. And so because of that, most people, you know, value their personal property higher. I mean, it's just, you know, as a standard, that's the case. And I mean, it's really difficult. I mean, I've sold my own homes before, and you have to kick yourself in the knees a couple times before you price it when I'm selling my own property, because you run into the same type of stuff. So what you have to do, similar to how the appraiser we had on last week, you know, we have to be looking at it from the perspective that appraiser talked to us about, looking at the comparables, looking at the neighborhood, looking at in the last 4 months, not the last 2 years, because things can change one way or the other. And so it's a matter of really delving into that data and then applying it to the specific property and making sure we're at that price point that is going to maximize your return in the first 75 to 90 days.
So in other words, number one mistake, don't over or underprice your home.
Exactly. Now, number two, we'll just move right into number two, and we've seen this all the time, and for various reasons, it doesn't always happen, but number two, deadly mistake number two when selling, failure to appropriately showcase your home. I mean, I just can't tell you how many times, you know, we've gone into a house and there's been, you know, dirty dishes in the sink and, you know, the trim work's all scuffed up. There's a number of reasons why certain properties can't be fixed up. I mean, if you're in a bank repo situation or a short sale, but that's one reason those are such a good deal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a normal seller out there in a situation where you're moving up or have the time, you know, or the money to do it, I mean, fresh paint, picking everything up, having the carpets professionally cleaned, stretched if they need to. I mean, there's a number of things we've had. You know, we've
putting
had
the cat box in the garage.
Exactly. We've had Gamash in here talking about landscaping and curb appeal. But that really is that is the second biggest mistake made is people not showcasing the house properly, and it can cost them. I mean, it can cost them $5,000-$10,000.
It could cost you the sale because you told us about times where you've rolled up to a house and the people get out of the car and they say no. They just walk away.
Yeah, keep driving.
That's exactly right. I mean, when you think of, when you're selling a car, you would wash it, you would detail the interior,
vacuum
shine
it,
the wheels, and stick it on the corner.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what we need to do with houses.
And, you know, over the years, you see these emails that kind of pop out, and it's the different perspectives that different industries have on homes. And like Thomas from Mid-Columbia Valuation Services was talking about last week, he was talking about he doesn't really look at that kind of stuff. He's looking at square footage. He's looking at comparables, finishes. And so the way an appraiser looks at a property versus the way a seller looks at a property versus the way a realtor looks at a property versus a lender looks at a property are all different perspectives. And what we really have to be focusing on right now is making sure that that seller is paying attention to what Lance is telling them, because he is the real estate professional in this market and knows how people are looking at them as buyers, and that's what's going to benefit them the most.
That's exactly right. We need to showcase your house as a seller, not how you've lived in it and looked at it, but how the buyers are going to look at it.
Yeah.
And so that leads us directly into deadly mistake number three, and that is using the hard sell during showings. You know, this is not a time to use a hard sell technique when someone is going through your house. These families, and especially if, you know, if you're a for sale by owner, for instance, and not, you know, it's a little bit easier when an agent is involved. But a buyer does not want to be walked through a house by a seller and pointed out all the awesome and wonderful things that the seller loves about the house. Mm-hmm. That buyer is totally different than you are, and they're going to be looking at totally different things that you're pointing out. In fact, the things you're pointing out might even be annoying to that buyer where they were great for you. So, you know, it's best to not even be present during a showing when a buyer is looking at a house. Mm-hmm. It's very uncomfortable, and it feels like you're trespassing as a buyer if you are in someone's home and the other person is like sitting there or going about their day, or even if they're just there watching TV, you really feel like you're intruding on a stranger's home. I mean, it is a weird feeling.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Either you're visiting or you're envisioning yourself living in that house.
You're walking around looking through the closets, you know, going up and down the stairs. And,
Whereas if a seller has given you permission to be in their house, the seller has said to you, look, I am thankful. I'm so glad you came to view my house. The best way is, you know what? The house is yours. I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to 7-Eleven and get a soda or run down and have a drink. You know, you just take your time and go through the house. Then a buyer can relax, go through the house, look at the things that are important to them, and start to make that decision. I've seen more sales killed by us showing up and the seller is at the property.
Oh.
And then if a buyer is really interested, I tell you what, they are 100% of the time going to request more information. It's not like you're going to tell them something that they might have missed and miss out on the sale. If they have that feeling, that home feeling about the house, they don't need to be hard sold.
Yeah.
And so that's a big issue, and that's a big mistake that we see people make, and I don't want any sellers out there this year to make that same mistake.
So unlike the car business, there's no need for a closer.
Yeah, when someone's looking at a home, that is exactly correct. You know, the buyers want to feel comfortable and go through the house, and, you know, and even as an agent, sometimes I know the best thing to do is for me to just open the door and let them do their thing.
Because they're going to know if it's the right fit for what they're looking for.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's what we try to set up, and we try to make it as easy as possible and comfortable as possible so it feels like home. And I think we can fit in one more before the break here. So we've got deadly mistake number four that I feel is mistaking a looker for a buyer. You can waste a lot of time and energy with a looker that might not be qualified, might not be even wanting to buy your house. And, I mean, you don't know if they are comparing properties, looking for decorating ideas.
Neighbors that want to see what that other neighbor's house really looks like.
That's a great option. So a lot of time and energy can be wasted there. Like I say, as agents, one of the things that's brilliant about our system and what we do as real estate agents is you can trust when I show up with somebody in my car that, you know, they've been pre-qualified and we're looking for a specific set of circumstances.
Yeah, they've been screened so that nobody's time is wasted.
That's exactly right. So it's a little bit easier from a listing standpoint inside, but just making sure that you're not putting a lot of energy and wasted effort out on what a looker might be versus an actual buyer for that house. And I mean, that really comes into play, you know, where Scott and I work so well together. I mean, it's just, we know that we're driving around with qualified buyers for a specific reason when Scott has sent them to us.
Mm-hmm. Well, at Cobalt Mortgage, it's important to us that we don't have anybody wasting your time because you're so busy with all the homes that you've gotten and all the people that you're out showing them to. It would be a disservice to us and to them if we weren't getting them ready as possible so that they could be a decision maker when they're with you.
That's exactly right. And so just so that we keep things even here, because I'm an even person, we have 10 reasons. I want to get all 5 in before the break or it'll kill me, drive me nuts. So deadly mistake number 5, not knowing your rights and obligations. Here's the thing. Real estate law is extensive. It's complex. It's continually changing. It's changing right now. Mm-hmm. Our forms are changing. You need to know what you're required to disclose to buyers. You need to know that you've provided the proper forms disclosure-wise. And it might not show up until 3 or 4 days before closing. You could have not given them the proper disclosure forms. They decide at the last minute they're backing out. They want all their earnest money back, and you're like, well, no, I'm keeping it because you're backing out. But if you failed to give them disclosures, which is a requirement,
Seller has some liability.
They can back out because they didn't get the disclosure. So you are going to have to give them all their earnest money back.
And that's where you come into play, because you can tell the seller, look, this is what you need to tell prospective buyers. When that basement wall caved in and you put in a new one, you have to tell them about that.
You have to tell them about that. Yes.
And it's kind of like with a car. That's why they have VIN numbers where you can, you know, that's where the Carfax idea came from.
Exactly.
So there's certain things.
History.
Yeah, there's certain things that have happened to the house or have occurred inside the house. There's a lot of very important disclosure.
That's exactly
right.
For
the sale of that house.
And that's why those laws are there, to protect both sides so that people don't get burned in the transaction.
Yes. And
you guys know what they are.
That's exactly right. I mean, we're always doing new classes, continuing education about what's coming up and happening. I mean, that is our job. So I mean, that's the part where you might be wondering, do I need an agent? And at that point, when it gets into that many things, my answer is going to be yes.
Yeah,
well, I can tell you from a lending standpoint, the transactions that seem to have the most hiccups in most cases are for sale by owner situations where they have thought that they're going to save some money, and then they find out, oh my gosh, I'd have paid that and then some to make sure that I had proper representation and paperwork and legal advice, frankly. So that's what we see in the lending side.
Legal advice from the attorneys.
But from the real estate attorneys.
Exactly.
That's important to know. Thank you.
Exactly. So that is our first 5 deadly mistakes. I've got 5 more great ones that I think you really just don't want to miss. We'll sneak in after the break. Also, some great new property listed this week that I want to tell you about. And we will talk about that after the break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We have been talking today about the 10 deadliest mistakes you can make when selling your home.
10 deadly sins.
Yes, and I know there's quite a few of them. I don't have it jotted down here on my list, but I would say we could add number 11 right now would be not talking to Scott Ridgway at Cobalt Mortgage. So,
yes. So
you definitely, for all the buyers out there that are looking and sellers that are worried about their buyers being pre-qualified, qualified. Scott, why don't you tell us what's going on a little bit with Cobalt right now and how you can help?
Well, at Cobalt Mortgage, we specialize in getting people ready to come see you, Lance, really.
Good.
We want to look at their income, their assets, their debts, and their credit, and make sure that it's not a guess or a pre-qualification letter that you receive, but it's actually a bona fide pre, or what we like to say is nothing pre. You're approved or you're not approved. So we like to make sure that they're fully approved, ready to go. They know what their payments are going to be. They know what their costs are going to be. We've got a plan for when they decide to lock in their interest rate and timelines. So we really look at their short and long-term financial goals so mm-hmm. that they can get a great perspective on what's best for them.
And that perspective makes a huge difference. I mean, you and I have talked in the past and stuff, and currently, you know, that's what I like is one thing that I know when people come and talk to you that you're not just slinging a loan at them one way or the other. You seem to have perspective not just about that loan, but what's happening in the market in general.
Well, and that's real important because if you think about it, not everybody is the same. You've got first-time home buyers. You've got people that have newly formed a family or they're growing their family. You've got people that are maybe empty nesters. You've got people that are doing estate planning. And we work in all those realms and different price ranges. And you've got employed people with W-2s, and you've got self-employed people. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. So it's really just a big dictionary of what are the details, what are the circumstances. We take all the puzzle pieces, we put them together, and we come up with a great solution for what they're trying to accomplish.
Definitely. Well, it sounds like to me that, you know, in the next couple weeks here, the next month or two, we might just have to have you do a complete show on the 10 deadliest mistakes borrowers make when shopping for a mortgage.
Well, I'll tell you, there's mistakes that occur, and I'll just throw one out there real quick. It happens, and that is somebody comes in and they say, I'm ready to buy a house, I've been saving up my money. Oh, yeah, and I just bought this new car that I've got a $725 car payment on. That's a house payment.
Yeah. Yeah.
On a depreciating asset. And so you look at it.
Might affect the ratios, huh?
Yeah. You say, you know, had you ever thought maybe buying the house first so you have a garage to put that piece of glory in? I mean, my gosh.
Yeah.
So that would be that could potentially be a deadly sin in the lending business.
Don't buy new cars while you're waiting for your mortgage.
It kind of depends, you know. Yeah. Give me a call, 737-6004 at Cobalt Mortgage, and before you pull the trigger on that, maybe we can just dialogue for 5 minutes to make sure it's not going to impact you or your ability to buy a house right now and take advantage of these tax credits.
Understood. Great. All right, we've got to make it through five more deadly sins. We can kind of we can paraphrase a little bit here, but we're on to number six. The deadliest mistake you can make when selling your house is, and this might not be popular with some folks, but signing a listing contract with no way out.
Ooh.
And you know, a listing contract is a binding obligation. I mean, you need to have your agent show you the relevant paragraphs in the contract, explain mm-hmm. your options for releasing that should it become necessary, and then definitely protect yourself by getting a guarantee of the right to cancel. I mean, it can just make a big difference. There can be life changes, there can be income changes, you know, there can be family changes, or just, I mean, stuff can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know, I mean, we definitely have all of our listings that I sign up are what's called an easy exit listing, and if you have any...
Well, you've mentioned that, the right to cancel, that's in your commercial.
That's exactly
right. Because you realize, you know, you are in good faith that they're going to stay with you, but what if all of a sudden, 2 weeks after you start the list, one of the people loses a job or something?
Exactly.
Or something happens where they decide they're not going to sell the house.
That's exactly right.
They're not on the hook, and they're not going to feel trapped, and they won't be taken advantage of.
Definitely. So all of our listings have the easy exit clause in there. It's explained clearly at the time of listing. I just did it, you know, yesterday with a couple that sat down as we added some of this inventory we're going to talk about. So deadly mistake number six, signing a listing contract with no way out. Deadly mistake number seven is limiting the marketing and exposure of your property. You just don't want to limit the exposure of your property. It seems crazy, but I mean, definitely, I mean, you're going to have entry into multiple listing service, the for sale sign, your lockbox. I mean, those are primary sources of exposure for your house. Lots of calls about, it's shocking, but when you look at our call logs and go back and research them like I have, is a ton of our calls happen from the hours of 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., working hours for most people, mm-hmm. Monday through Friday. That's when we get the majority of our calls about property. And so it's just making sure, can your home be viewed during these hours? It's kind of counterintuitive, but two of the most obvious marketing tools that people think about, open houses and classified ads and that type of stuff, are actually less than moderately effective. In fact, I call them horrible, is my language. Easy.
That's effective.
Surprisingly, less than 1% of homes are sold at an open house. And a lot of times these are just events that agents are using to attract future prospects, not an event to sell your house. Because quite honestly, they can't control the income level, the qualifications of the people that are coming through that house.
Wow.
So,
plus,
you know,
a lot of those happen on weekends when people are doing other things. Maybe somebody's day off is Wednesday. Or maybe
somebody wants
to go view a house on their lunch hour.
Right.
People are going to call you and let you know when they are available. And mm-hmm. if it's not the other way around, if you tell them, well, this house can only be shown on weekends, unless they're geeked for it, they'll look for another house.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so it's important to note the right realtor will employ, I mean, just a lot of different options for you. Everything from social media to Facebook to Twitter to your normal ads, your homes and land. A lot of different activities, prospecting, calling clients, mail outs to neighborhoods. You just want to make sure you're getting a wide range of activities. I mean, can't say enough
how much exposure. Yeah, the more exposure to the more people is just going to give you that many more opportunities to find that one person, because it only takes one to buy that house.
That's exactly right. So
it's kind of common sense.
Along that lines, we are going to have our final three mistakes, but I think it's only fitting after the exposure comment that we talk about the pick three of the week.
Oh, we must, because there you go. There's exposure
okay.
to get these homes
yeah.
sold.
Yes. I know it's a little bit interrupting, but this is the part. The real estate side, the property side, when it comes down to it, this is what I want people to hear about, and this is what I want to do and sell these houses for our clients.
And they do need to be qualified before you go show these houses to them. Is that right?
That's exactly right. They're going to call me, they're going to call you, they're going to get qualified, or they're going to call their agent, and they're going to be able to go and show these houses at any time. If they're already working with an agent, they're going to be able to call their agent and get access to these houses. I mean, it's a powerful, powerful system. So right now we have 1112 North Beach in Pasco. It's a great starter home, perfectly designed for the tax credit, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, huge yard, garden area, underground sprinklers, 2-car garage, built in 2004. And it's $130,000.
Wow.
I mean, it's just...
John and I are looking at each other like, man, that'd be a great house to buy right now.
Yeah,
everything's on sale. Printer. The economy's on sale. Rates are on sale. This is good.
So, I mean, that
UGS
one...
UGS always gets my attention because I'm dragging hoses around with a KID.
Exactly. I mean, we just listed that. It's a fabulous place. Now, pick number two, a little bit different. We're in Kennewick now. We're in central Kennewick. It's a great, great townhouse. It's located at 1506 4th Place. It's a newer stucco townhouse, 1,800 square feet, 3-bed, 2-bath, huge entertainment area, and it has the master on the main level.
Mm.
This thing is priced to sell at $135,000.
Wow.
And that's once again is at 1506 4th Place, right off of 4th and Olympia down there, central location. I mean, you're getting everything basically brand new within the last couple of years for $135,000.
Now, with a townhouse, what kind of exterior landscaping, upkeep, what's an owner looking at if they're buying a townhouse versus a stick-built single-family residence?
You know what? This particular one, it has some common area yards in it, so you pay $50 a month. They take care of all the bushes, all the landscaping, all the lawn mowing.
John, no landscaping.
And you're just responsible for the exterior of the property itself.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, I mean,
would be great for an empty nester.
It would be fabulous for an empty nester.
Someone that travels a lot. Yeah.
It has the 2 bedrooms upstairs, perfect for for when people come to visit. I mean, it's really set up nice. It's just a great, great place. Pick number three, very, very new on the market, and this is over in South Richland. It's in Willowbrook Heights. It's 2782 Leopold Lane. This is a fabulous, fabulous house built in 2001. It was a Ron Osmus house, great quality, great neighborhood, four bedrooms, two bath, all on a Rambler, and it has that three-car garage that you're looking for. So, I mean, once again, the landscaping on this home is beautiful. The owners are just super, super, super careful about upkeep. I mean, the interior's been repainted. The exterior's been repainted. I mean, you just walk into this house, and it feels almost brand new.
You know, that's a great neighborhood. Eric was the superintendent when they were building all those out, and those are fantastic houses in that area, and it's a great location.
I mean, yeah, it was a great, great location, and you're looking at this for $240,000 to put you in a four-bedroom in that neighborhood with a three-car garage. You're just not going to find the Ramblers with three-car garage priced like this in that neighborhood. This is why it's on the pick three. This is why it's going to move quickly, and that's why we're giving you maximum exposure here on the Kenmore team.
Those are three great homes. Call the Kenmore
team.
Very
nice.
Go check them out.
So we've got to fit in a couple more mistakes here to kind of wrap up the show. So we are on deadly mistake number eight, believing that a bank mortgage refinance appraisal is the market value of your home.
Wow. Well, if you were listening last week, you would have been tuned into listening to Thomas talk about valuations in our marketplace, wouldn't
Appraisals,
you?
Appraisals, yeah.
Wow.
And so, I mean, I know Scott can speak to this a little bit. He's seen it before, but a lot of times 2 or 3 years ago in the refinance boom and the crazy lender booms and the internet refinancing boom.
Oh, yeah.
Gee, Scott, were any of those appraisals overinflated at all?
Well, I'm not an appraiser, so I need to start with that. But, you know, my understanding is, and we can check with Thomas, is that you're going to look at homes that have sold within the last 6 months, right around there, that are similar in make, model, finish, size, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, different markets are going to change those values. And the demand, when you go back to Econ 101, you look at the supply and demand curve, and prices bounce all over the place. So they really need to be talking with a professional realtor to give them a real solid idea of what the market is bearing now.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, we see this all the time. And a lot of times, you know, when I redo those comparables and look in the solds in the last couple months, and look at the new, you know, the new requirements that allow us to use comps from a shorter distance instead of all over Tri-Cities to increase value.
I used to love
value.
Those appraisals that had the little sticky arrows all over the map.
And so, you know, it's just really narrowing it down. So, you know, that's part of our education, you know, experience. That's part of us helping the consumer know what the right price is. Deadly mistake number nine, and here it is, it's choosing the wrong realtor and or choosing him for the wrong reasons, him or her for the wrong reasons. I mean, everybody's got a friend in the business. Everybody's got, you know, an aunt or an uncle that's done this part-time. So it's just a matter of, are you making the choice because you need that property sold and you think you're choosing the most dynamic, best program to get it sold? Or are you making that choice in your agent because they're a friend or somebody you want to do a favor?
Or that, yeah, they feel like they owe somebody something. Or if somebody's going to make some money, I'm going to put it in your pocket, kind of a scenario.
That's exactly that right. That's exactly right. And plus, you know, there's the experience factor that comes into play. There's the team factor that comes into play. And just making sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. So that is definitely deadly mistake number nine.
Can I comment on that? Because I am jumping in and interrupt.
Oh, boy. I like
Here's
it.
There's the interruption.
There you go.
We're watching for it.
Mr. Wedge.
Well, so when you've got people that are looking to sell their house and you're jumping in with a realtor and somebody says, well, I've got a friend that can sell this, like you were talking about earlier, if it takes 6 months to move that house because of the way that they market it or advertise it, and they can lose, what was the percentage? 10% up to 15% of the value of that home if it sits too long.
$150K we were talking about.
$150K was $22,500.
Yeah.
And so is it worth it to risk $22,500 working with somebody that you know versus making sure you're working with the best real estate professional that you can get access to.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And I know a lot of times people do make the choice for the wrong reason, and I absolutely love to hear when people are interviewing multiple sources. I mean, that's the opportunity we want. That's the opportunity that I advertise that I want. Everybody's heard my commercials. I mean, it is a job interview. I mean, that's what I'm showing up for, is a job interview, and I just want that chance for that interview. Mm-hmm. And definitely, smart people, interview a couple agents.
Do
to
your
see
homework.
Who
talk
the
a
best
lot, talk
fit
to
is.
Lots of people, and then make it make an educated decision.
Well, I like working with people like that because they're serious about doing business as well.
That's exactly right. And this kind of leads us to the last mistake that I'll leave people with today, and it's tied to mistake number 9. But deadly mistake number 10 is choosing a realtor based on the listing price. Or back to deadly mistake number 1 about pricing, is a lot of times, people will look at and not have justification for the price they've come up with. And it's very important to take a hard look at that data, make sure you're being supplied that data, and then making a choice based upon what you think is the correct choice at the time and not what might be the pie in the sky price.
So you're saying that there are potentially people out there that are quasi-buying listings just to get people to sign up with them, but knowing potentially down the road they're going to have to lower that price.
They're going to have to do a price reduction. And it's just got to be the case. I mean, it's just a fact, because I run into times where, and I'm very cautious about making sure I know why I haven't gotten a listing. And so a lot of times I enjoy calling back the ones I've lost and just asking the client, quickly, hey, I appreciated your time. Thanks for giving me that opportunity to interview for the job. Why didn't I get it? And, 7 times out of 10, it's because of a pricing issue.
Whatever happened to doing it right the first time?
Well, that's
just... We just got to get back to that. Just do it right the first time.
And it's hard. That's the thing, is a lot of people find this job hard, but it's doing it, sitting down and telling somebody exactly what you feel at that moment. And that might not be what they want to hear, but that's what they need to hear. And so,
reality.
Yeah, we're not afraid to make those hard calls. And if that relationship doesn't work at that time, I'm not afraid to leave. So that's my, that's my job. And so one thing that we've always been accustomed to is, sitting down at that time when I tell you that price, in my heart, I believe that is where we need to be.
And so, priced correctly, what was the statistic that you had? Is homes typically sell within the first how many days if they're priced correctly?
If they're priced correctly, you'll sell in the first 30 to 60 days. The value there was the important part of that equation, for between 95 to 100% of your list price. And that's where you want to be at.
So time is money.
Time is money in this case, and that wraps up our list of the 10 deadly sins. And I know we're over time this week. It was a lot to fit into one show. Scott, I appreciate you kind of giving us some extra time there to get those in. And yeah, well, I think we've kind of got it straightened out.
I'm not too sure
about a mistake show, though. I like to talk about more positive stuff and
a lot of
properties.
I think we're just so lucky in Tri-Cities. There's so much positive going on in this island called Tri-Cities that, we've got to bring these things to light for people.
Definitely. And just a reminder to everybody, the market is heating up. We are taking appointments, multiple appointments daily. I just can't say enough how much we appreciate the listeners and their referrals and their calls, because they've been increasing so much over the last couple weeks. And once again, thanks again to the station, and thanks again to all the listeners out there. And if you have any questions, my cell phone direct, 727-8977, and we will see you next week
right here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update on News Talk 870.